Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. These days, a lot of us may be using smartphones and smartwatches to do our business and interact with our friends. But sometimes it would be more convenient if we could interact with these devices silently so that the speech from our devices doesn't disturb other people.
The Braille display on the new Dot Watch now makes that possible. We'll speak with Eric Kim, founder and CEO of Dot, about what makes this watch special and how it works. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Eric Kim.
When I first started Dot, I really wanted to make some kind of change as an entrepreneur. I really wanted to make a better technology, a better device that can change people's life. So I just did it. And then with my teams, and we had a lot of hard time, but, you know, we just kind of endure when we had a hard time, and then we are almost finished it. So I think if you have a problem, it would be a great tip. Just, you know, do it, what you believe. And I was really happy while I'm working on Dot, meeting a lot of other visually impaired friends, and making what people really want. It's a really exciting things. So yeah, if you feel a problem, and then why don't you just do it?
So the bottom line is, if you have some concept you want to do, it may be tough, there may be some hard times, but if you're persistent and you work at it, you can bring it to fruition, as you've done here with this Dot Watch.
Yes.
And this is a great story of someone seeing a need and developing a solution.
And this attitude applies to so many aspects of life. Even if there are challenges, even if there are hurdles, if there's something you want to do, go for it.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
eSight, maker of digital eyewear designed to help improve vision for people with low vision and legal blindness. The technology can be used to read, see faces, and explore the world. More information is available at eSighteyewear.com. Let's start by meeting Eric Kim and learning why he started the company Dot.
My name is Eric Kim. I'm from South Korea. I graduated high school in South Korea, and then I went to the University of Washington in Seattle. And then I studied social science in there, and then I did three software startups. And then after the three software startups, I started Dot.
Where did you get the idea to start Dot?
After I became a Christian, at the Christian community, I met one blind woman, and then I realized that Bible becomes like a, you know, 22 Braille books. I was really surprised, and then I was also surprised by the electric Braille display's price at the moment. And after I realized it's like a worldwide problem, I gathered a team and I started making a cheap Braille cells. And then at the end, we got an idea about this Dot Watch Braille smartwatch. And we're about to launch right now, and we almost finished our development.
So you yourself are not visually impaired, I take it?
No, I'm not visually impaired.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is the Dot Braille smartwatch from the company Dot.
So today we want to talk mostly about your company Dot and the Dot Watch, which your company manufactures and distributes. Can you tell us a little bit about the Dot company?
Okay, so we are a startup company based in Seoul, South Korea. It's been a year since we made corporations. And recently, we raised $1 million of the venture capital. So we are working on the R&D. Our first product is Dot Watch. It's a Braille smartwatch. It's like an Apple Watch or Pebble. It's a normal smartwatch, but on the surface, it has a Braille display. So anyone who wants to touch Braille and want to read Braille, want to, you know, see the time or like a short text, you can read it on the Braille smartwatch by your fingers. Actually, what we're making is much more small and much more cheaper Braille cells. It's we call it a multi-actuator. And basically, from that technology, we can make dot watch. And then we plan to make a dot pad next year. It's a multi-layered, like iPad-style Braille display. And then we also are trying to put Braille display on the ATM and also like a subway or any airplanes and a lot of public places, so that we are working on those accessing of Braille information more and more in those G20 countries, a more advanced country. That's what we are working on.
So you made reference earlier to having developed a less expensive Braille cell than is currently used in refreshable Braille technologies. This seems to be absolutely crucial to any of these products that you're describing.
Yes.
Can you tell us what's different about your Braille cell technology and the more traditional one?
Okay. So the traditional one is called piezoelectric. When we first started DOT, we started by like kind of investigating those current Braille display. And all the Braille display use the same technology, piezoelectric. Since it's a kind of old technology, the patent was expired. So we tried to develop above the piezoelectric technology first, and then we failed. We failed more than 10 times. And then we changed the method as a magnet power. So after we researched about the magnet and making it as Braille cells, we failed a lot. But at the end, what we succeeded was it's a single magnet and we make six holes. Since it's like a single magnet, there's no disruptions between those holes. And it's a really relatively cheap. It's more than 20s cheaper than a current piezoelectric technology. And it's also 20s smaller than piezoelectric technology.
Let me understand how these individual Braille characters are formed. You have one magnet underneath and six locations above it that can each be activated independently?
Yes, actually on the dot watch, it has six holes. So it's a four cells.
Right.
Let me explain like this. If it's dot pad, like a 50 cells, we can make in the single magnet, we can make a six holes of 50 Braille cells, and we manufacturing of the magnet, and then that's a multi-actuator that can replace the piezoelectric technology that are currently used by many companies.
So for however many cells you've got one sheet magnet that underlies the whole thing?
Yes.
But then how do you actuate each individual dot within a given cell?
So each pins are connected by the, you know, electric signals. And on the surface of the magnet, we have a flexible PCB on it. So the pins, the center of the hole, are covered by coil. So when we make electric signals, it works against the magnet, so it goes up and down. So the flexible PCB is a guide.
So it keeps the motion going straight up and down.
Yes, yes.
So essentially these coils must create a canceling magnetic field.
Yes.
And that way the pins can move or not be affected by the magnet underneath.
Right.
Well, that is way cool.
That's a clever idea.
Thank you very much. Actually, it's not my idea. It's my CTO's idea. So
give your CTO a raise. So a typical Braille display, you actually have the pins coming up and down through a hole in the case. And so the pin is either exposed or recessed. Do you have something similar on the dot watch, or do you have some sort of impermeable film over the top to keep it clean?
Could you explain a little bit more?
Well, so I'm sighted and Pete's blind, and I've seen what most of his watches end up looking like after not too long of a time. I mean, he walks into things sometimes. So I'm wondering if you have a mechanism for keeping these Braille cells protected.
So right now, we have a few ideas, and then we believe it's a solvable, as it's, we can solve the problem of the protecting Braille cells. The first idea is we make a little, like a really light silicone cap on the Braille cells,
mm-hmm.
so that we can protect Braille cells from dust and the waters. Actually, the multi-actuator itself is like a coating.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, it's all already protected, but we're going to put like a silicone cap on the surface with, it's really kind of rubber. You can feel the Braille cells, but you don't disturb by any other things.
So this must be a very thin and flexible rubber layer that you put on top of the cells to protect them so they can continue to move up and down.
Yes, right.
And that way grease from people's fingers or dirt or dust won't affect the motion. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Also, we're going to make it really easy to clean up, like open the surface and then you can just like using brush or something, you can clean it in a really easy way.
Mm-hmm.
That's also possible. And we have a few other ideas, but it's on process right now.
Okay.
So I've seen some really nice photographs of your watch on your website, but many of your customers won't be able to actually see those photographs. That's why they might want to buy the dot watch. Can you describe what it looks like?
Yeah, so it's a 42 millimeter case, 12 millimeter depth.
And that's a circle.
Yeah, it's a perfect circle, and we got a lot of feedbacks, bad feedbacks, good feedbacks about the quantity of the cells, but it's a 4 cells that can display time and the short text, and it has 3 buttons on the side. So the center button is a circle button, and then you can adjust the speed of the displaying of the Braille, and then on the up, we have like another circle buttons, which is like a kind of a arrow key that you can go to like a up content, and then you can go to down, you can go up and down. So on the bottom, you have a down key, so you can access next content or, you know, previous content.
What's the primary function of a dot watch?
So what dot watch can do is you can basically connect with other IT devices such as like a smartphone or iPad. You can connect this device using Bluetooth. After you connect it, you have a dot app on those iPhone and or the Android device. You can turn on which application that you're going to get notified, such as like a Twitter or like a Facebook or the Messengers or WhatsApp. After you turn on, you get all the notification data from those cell phones.
So essentially you connect it to an app on your iPhone, for example, and then you can get notifications in Braille on your wrist.
Yes, right. And then you can check the time. Also, you can learn Braille characters, you know, using syncing with the smartphones. And also we are working on in Korea. You can check the bus numbers and those public datas, and also kind of a little functions like what Apple Watch have, like it can notify when you gotta like a stand up for like a walking or something, and also many other like a healthcare features, such as it's kind of fun features. If you do push up, every one time one dot pops up, and those kind of little features. That watch also have, but the main feature is reading text or reading short text by Braille on your wrist.
The way you described the 3 buttons, it sounds like you have a choice between having the Braille scroll across the display or have it stationary and then you manually advance to the next 4 cells.
Mm-hmm. Yes, both option is doable. So if you want to like a fast refresh Braille, it's like automatically, you can do that. But also, you can just read and then you can go next content and those kind of things. But like, we have a really hard time since we wanted to make a really like a portable device, but Braille cells need a certain amount of size. So it was a really hard thing. But what we are working on is actually we are trying to make a Braille as like a treadmill. Maybe you don't need to move your fingers a lot. The Braille itself, like a kind of a scroll, like a treadmill.
So you have it run sort of like a ticker tape.
Yes, yes.
And the Braille kind of moves across character by character automatically.
Yes, that's what we're working on. But what is the most efficient way of reading Braille on this tiny device? That's still our kind of the major target that we are working on to make what's the best case. So yeah, like what Nancy said, you can read in many ways. But we are right now, we are trying to find the best way that we can promote to people.
Right. Well, I think having options for people, some people may prefer to see four characters at a time, then go to the next four characters. Some people may want to see it scroll and control the speed of the scrolling. So I guess if you have some options, that sort of pleases everybody, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
What other features does the Dot Watch have?
So Dot Watch has an application, Clip, that you can... It's kind of an accessory of the Dot Watch. It has a microphone and it has a speaker. So you can use any time as a recorder. You can use it as like a note taker. And it's not a Siri, but we have our own kind of voice recognition technology that we're working on. So you can do like a voice command of the Dot Watch. Suppose like, what's the weather today? The microphone on, and then it send the data to the smartphone, and smartphone send the data to the smartwatch, and then you can know what's the weather today by Braille. Those kind of things, you can do that.
So you can use the watch as an interface to your phone, and you don't have to take the phone out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm, right.
This is essentially what sighted people are doing with the Apple Watch.
Right.
So this is great. You just said you can control the watch by voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously it doesn't have room for any kind of keyboard for input. So that's great.
Thank you.
And how do you select whether you're hearing speech through the watch or seeing the output on the Braille display that's built onto the watch?
For that, you're going to kind of like decide first when you use the watch. You might change through buttons. So on the Dot Watch, you can, like I said, it has three buttons. So you can select those menu. So you can change by menu, or you can use voice command to maybe you can activate the Braille cells, or you can just use a voice command and the sound feedback. We can just easily change. Actually, that's not finished yet. That's what our software team is working on currently.
So the plan is to have this easily customizable how you would like to get feedback from the watch, but it sounds like you still have some development work to do before the final release.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I guess with a product like this, even after release, there's many easy opportunities to upgrade through firmware improvements or new software releases, right?
Exactly. We are kind of discussing a lot which version is kind of launchable. So we can make a lot of features, but certainly it takes time. So like what you said, right now, we are kind of discussing and deciding when and what kind of functions are necessary for the first launch of Dot Watch.
Right. Well, that's one of the beauty of today's technologies. It used to be in the old days, if someone made a product, everything was baked into hardware.
Right.
And so if you wanted to improve or enhance the product features, you really need an entirely new device.
Mm-hmm.
These days, you want some new features and modifications, it's as simple as a software upgrade. And as long as you have the hardware sufficiently capable initially. So you're pretty settled with the hardware now then.
Mm-hmm.
So this raises a related question. Do you have plans to make it possible for existing owners of the Dot Watch to do updates and upgrades just by downloading something from the web?
Yes, that's what other startup companies do, and then we will do the same way.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you don't have to worry about being one of the first people to buy it, that you won't get all of the functions, that you can just add on functions as they get rolled out.
Yes, you can just download it.
Cool.
You're obviously using this display now in a four-character system, and you talked about having plans to use smaller Braille displays as parts of signs in public places, ATMs, etc. And I'm wondering, you talked about a little bit that this technology might be extensible to larger Braille displays, like to replace refreshable Braille displays. Is that a possibility in the future? Does this have the refresh times and other attributes that are required to make a real refreshable portable display?
Yes. Actually, for the Vigor version, we are already working on it. So in terms of technology, it's not a big change. But what we need is since we make a bigger display, it needs more kind of a sustainable, like a hardware type of sustainability.
Needs to be a little bit more robust.
Yeah. So actually, we're already working on it, and what we call it, ThoughtPad, will be hopefully launching in the next year, like end of the next year, like at Christmas season. So that's next launching of the ThoughtWatch.
Well, that would be really nice to see. That would have to be a really competitive product considering the prices of current refreshable Braille displays.
Mm-hmm.
That should make a nice entry to the market.
Yes, like a lot of Silicon Valley startups, what they're doing is kind of making a disrupt technology. And then a good example is an iPod and then, you know, iPad, those iPhone. So we want to make that kind of innovation in this industry. And the ThoughtPad, we are pretty sure that it's going to be under $1,000. So we believe that it's going to be really good device.
I think Braille displays are ready for disruptive technology, I think. They've been waiting for one for many years, and I hope this really happens and works out. That'd be nice.
Yes, that's about time.
Just to let you know, we did this interview in October for this episode of Eyes on Success that's being aired in December, and things have been changing very quickly at Dot with their Dot Watch. So if you want to know when it's ready to purchase and you can already pre-order it, just check their website. Now for this week's final item, how to get more information about the Dot series of products, including the Dot Braille smartwatch, and how to order one.
So if people wanted to find out more about the Dot Watch and your company, where would they go?
The website is dotincorp.com, dotincorp.com.
Do you have an email address if people want to ask questions?
If you want to ask questions, our company official email is dot@dotincorp.com. So you can send any questions, any kind of suggests, you know, anything that you can, you know, ask this mail.
And I assume since you've specifically mentioned that the watch can be used to interact with Twitter and Facebook and stuff, that you've got a presence on both, right?
Right.
And where would people find you there?
On the Facebook, we have a Dot Facebook page, but since our name is Dot, there's a lot of other things that has named Dot. It would be kind of hard to find, so you can just come to our website, and we have a link of the Dot Facebook page and the Dot Twitter page, so you can just come to our website, and then you can go to those other links, Facebook and Twitter.
And we will put all those links and contact information in the show notes that come with each of our shows so people can find that easily in one place.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to acquire one of these, where and when will these become available around the world?
For the first version, we're gonna produce 10,000 pieces. And for the first version, it's gonna be, you know, sales on only in website. So you can order on website and we ship it to you. We finished the English version, so any English-speaking country can order on our website and we can ship to your country.
And when do you expect to have these available in other languages?
We are discussing what would be our next version. And the three priority would be Spanish, Chinese, and Japanese. So that would be our next releasable Braille version. And for the language, you can just download on our web. You can just upgrade it and you can change to other languages.
So people should look for some of those other languages starting sometime in 2016.
Yes, right.
So that really sounds like an interesting new device that gives blind people another way of interacting with their smartphones and smart devices. And it'd be interesting to see how well it is accepted and how people eventually use it, what other applications get built in, and how it comes along. And also, it's kind of interesting to note that this may be another technology that could be extensible to fuller width Braille displays that'll be a little less expensive. It will be interesting to see how that comes along. And we'll try to keep in touch with developments as they progress.
And if you know of any intriguing novel technologies to assist those with vision loss, please let us know. Just drop us an email at hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
As I mentioned earlier, all of those resources will be available in our show notes. If you go to www.eyesonsuccess.net, we hope people are making use of those show notes when they want to find a reference or resource or contact information that we mentioned in the show. I also wanted to remind listeners that we have two email groups that you can join. One is an announcements-only list for people that don't want a whole lot of mail to wind up in their inbox. And basically, we send out a weekly announcement of each show. You'll get a summary of that show along with links to the audio and the show notes for that episode. You can join that announcements-only group by sending an email to Eyes on Success, followed by the plus sign, followed by the word subscribe at googlegroups.com. The other email form you can join is a discussion group for people who want to be a little bit more interactive with other listeners of the show and to discuss topics that they've heard on the show. You can join this group by sending an email to EOS_discuss, followed by the plus sign, followed by subscribe@googlegroups.com. So I hope people enjoy those and take advantage of those email lists.
That's it for show number 1550. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about how people learn science, even if they have little or no vision. This all started when a graduate student named Bonnie Sweenor contacted Pete to ask him how he was able to learn science, although he was blind at the time. And we asked if we could record the conversation. And so this is kind of a reverse interview where she was asking Pete lots of questions about how he was able to get through his education in high school, college, and graduate school. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.